I only have one. I normally, never mind. I'm not going to tell you how I normally.
I'd say, like, there's no room in the house for pajamas anywhere. Like,
not in Miami.
No.
Hello, welcome to Debatable, a late night edition of Debatable, a fake television show where we wear our finest sleepwear. Alabaster, some may be disappointed by the game that we just all watched together, but I am not. I am not disappointed. I'm very excited to be here talking about this thing. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I mean, yeah, it was another blowout, but we had third quarter Luka Magic. We had game six Klay in game five. We had Jordan Poole coming back, and we have an NBA finalist. The Warriors are back in the finals. And our question, do they feel like a juggernaut to you again?
Yes, they do. And I say this is a psychology experiment response. This is not rational brain. This is just how I feel right now. I watch Steph Curry. I watch Klay Thompson. I watch Jordan Poole. I watch Kevon Looney. I watch Bielitsa get some run. And I'm like, this is unfair.
No Draymond? No love unfair. For Draymond? You get the Bielitsa before you get to Draymond?
That's fair. Draymond hit a corner three tonight. And
Draymond hit everything tonight.
Yeah, didn't miss a shot.
And yes, if you were playing a Warriors drinking game, you're almost as drunk as Dominique tonight because it felt great.
Impossible. I feel like the tequila beat the coffee tonight. Normally the coffee wins out, and I'm shot out of a cannon by the time we get to the show. But tonight, tequila, it beat that coffee.
Tonight's
up.
Real loosey-goosey. Dominique rubbed sleep out of his eyes when Alabaster was explaining the reasons why he's so excited. And for the podcast audience, he's doing it again unironically right now. But nonetheless, here we are, 11:28 p.m. Eastern.
That's what you do.
Journalism.
Here's the part. Hopefully Dominique doesn't fall asleep here while he talks some basketball. But here's the part that is, I guess, like sort of convincing me that this is a similar sort of juggernaut type of Warriors team is that it doesn't require Steph to be that guy. Oh, wow. There's a lot of things happening in my ears right now. I'm sorry. Okay.
I can
you saw that, right?
Yeah.
No, that's fine. Okay, that's fine. What I was saying was Steph doesn't have to do everything. And even though he had been sort of, you know, some people say the best performer in the playoffs this postseason, tonight was Klay. No, it was Charlie.
Oh, Charlie, okay. Nobody said that.
You've got a version of Klay back where you're just like, hey, I can see that. I can see him doing that three or four more times in the finals. You've got a Jordan Poole game where he had 16 off the bench and it was just like, you know, a factor constantly. And, say what you will about Kevon Looney. Like, he is the workhorse. He is the guy in the middle who does whatever.
Rebounds.
Yeah, whether he is the Zsa Zsa Pachulia or if he's the JaVale McGee, either way, he is an effective guy.
Right. You need to stop being Kevon Looney's agent. You have lost that job just on that alone. Yes.
I think they can be overwhelmingly offensive. Offensively, they can be overwhelming. I just don't think that in the finals, they're going to have that same freedom of movement. I think whoever comes out of the East could be anybody. Whoever comes out of the East is going to suffocate the Warriors in a way they haven't experienced yet, and we'll see how they respond to that. But that's not supposed to happen. It's supposed to get tougher as you go.
Do we know who the Magic Johnson Award winner is yet? Have they announced that yet? Because we came straight here. I didn't stay to watch who was the Magic Johnson MVP of the Western Conference Finals. But it's hard to say that it's Steph, even though it probably is also hard to say that it's anybody but Steph. Because it felt like tonight when they put the series away, it was like in the fourth quarter, Steph was clapping from the bench like the whole time, which is not a knock on Steph. I think that's a point to the juggernaut. I wouldn't call them a juggernaut, but I could understand how people would see it that way. The juggernaut, like, to me, that makes me think, like, we already know they're going to win the finals. And I'm not sure I would pick them to win the finals.
Oh, no.
Okay, when they were a juggernaut, we assumed that they were going to win every time that they got to the finals.
Before we analyze the finals, I do want to acknowledge the card that Alabaster just put down here. Because whether or not we acknowledge them as a juggernaut right now, when we look back at this year in context of all of the other years that preceded it, it will seem pretty juggernaut-y. Right? This is the first team to reach the NBA Finals six times in eight seasons since Michael Jordan's Chicago Bulls. Like, the bridging of the years.
LeBron James is not a team?
He's not a team. Okay. I was just about to say, he's not a franchise in himself. No.
I personally believe that he is. But anyway, I'm sorry to cut you off, Pablo. I thought that was an important point that needed to be made.
It's a fair point. It is a fair point. But the Warriors, man, what they have is they've bridged the years to make the claim that, yes, right alongside LeBron James, they are also the team, the name that you need to be obsessed with when you think about this era of basketball history. Absolutely.
They, like the Celtics, a team that very well could make the finals, nobody knows, are a team that is stick to the core, right? Stick to the core. Don't break it up, you know, don't go wild and just try to, you know, take huge swings. Like, trust yourselves. And yeah, they had that downside, they had the injuries, and after all, you know, after all the success, Celtics is the same way. I mean, we were telling them to break it up as early as, you know, Christmas, and here they are potentially in the finals. And so what I think the Warriors are is they survived a lot. They survived, you know, their own super team, they survived other people attempting the super teams. And now I think in a year where there's more parity, they might be able to win a championship with this offense and just enough defense. But it's just impressive in general. Like, it's just a great part, just great to be part of that fan base, if you will. Some yes. Say I'm part of that fan
yeah,
base.
Yeah, you're a Dub Nation guy.
Because they always give you something. They always give you something. And now it's just this finals run is crazy impressive.
I mean, Joe Lacob is the cookie monster of the NBA, Dominique, general aesthetic.
I just wanted to let you guys know that Stephen Curry is the first ever recipient of the Urban Magic Johnson Western Conference Finals MVP. And personally, I'm just incredibly excited for Magic's tweet about that.
Keep us on alert.
There. But so I would have to – I said something a couple days ago that I'm sure Alabaster is waiting to throw back in my face. And with the way that Jordan Poole played defense tonight, I feel very wrong and dumb. Like, he wasn't great, but he was better. And that was the crux of my argument that Max Strus is better than Jordan Poole. It was stupid when I said it. But now it seems even more stupid because Max Strus hasn't hit a shot in a week, maybe? Like –
Yeah. Why are you talking about old stuff? Tomorrow is a whole new day. A whole new day. I think I just said a whole new day. Jordan Poole was definitely aggressive and active defensively. Yeah. And with a guy at his size, that's all you can ask for. Just make it annoying for the person you're, you know, running out to for like a second or two and get back. And yeah, it was just enough to bother the Mavs.
I also felt like he was like I thought of a bunch of words that I just knew was going to make Pablo just get excited and make jokes. I need to find the right word. He was physical in the paint. Like, it felt like when they were trying, he made everyone work for buckets. It wasn't like it was difficult to get through in a way that I'd never seen.
Trying real hard to not say the word hard. I think.
I was because I didn't want you to do the thing that you do anytime anyone says anything.
I have no idea
anywhere
what
close
about.
To.
I thought you were trying to avoid saying penetration, which is another.
Yeah, it's another.
Word
it's another
basketball.
It's another great Pablo opportunity.
Just basketball terms.
But I wanted to. Oh, you really want us to talk about this stat? Okay, 538 odds on winning the title heading into tonight. Oh, well, yeah, 538. I agree with them. I thought the winner of the championship was going to come out of the East, and even though we don't know,
been famously wrong in the past. Yeah, I don't really want to bank on anything they have to say. Just say 6% is enough of a chance for me.
They weren't wrong. They just put the probabilities. They didn't say
that's
it was
right.
impossible for that, other things
exactly
to happen.
Right.
They just said it was very unlikely, which we all agreed it was very unlikely.
It was God. Very unlikely.
I'm getting
it was
sad.
They did not say that Hillary Clinton was going to win. It was just that it was probable that she would have.
Right.
Much like, and now the Boston Celtics are the Hillary Clinton of the NBA Finals.
Don't do that
to
them.
They have a 76% chance per 538.
Don't do that to them, because then the Warriors are the super 16. Predators on the other side of that Hillary Clinton.
And the Miami Heat are.
No, we know who the. Stop
are
that.
Rand Paul? Rand
stop
Paul
it.
Is the Miami
oh,
Heat?
God. Yes, yes.
Stop it. You don't want to go digging into certain pockets of Miami. Let's just move on.
I want to go back to the idea of them keeping this together and how it kind of compares to the Celtics. It's slightly different because the Celtics was like, does this core work together? And Golden State was like, is this core too old? Which I think most of us would have agreed that this core I mean, too old. They were falling apart. They were getting hurt. Steph wasn't shooting as well. Draymond wasn't shooting at all. Klay was coming off of injuries, not the defender. Like, this to me is incredibly unlikely that they've made it this far and that they are playing as well as it appears that they are. So I'm not sure if it's a fluke or not. It feels hard to call it a fluke.
Why? I would argue they were worn out. I would argue they were worn out more than
Dominique is loading all of these qualifiers onto this team. If they're playing as good as it looks like they are, no, they're playing this good.
I mean, the Mavs. Be honest. How good are the Mavs?
Okay. So the Mavs should not have won this series, but the Mavs going into this series, it's not as if we thought the Mavs were
I was wrong. I thought they would win.
Yes, and they have wing defense. I mean, they need more.
But it wasn't because they were great. It was because we didn't believe in the Warriors. Right, exactly. And there's still something there. Dominique, there's still something there that makes you think this is not those Warriors. They're not shocking everybody like they were in 2015, and they don't have Kevin Durant.
That was an angry check we got from Alabama. He wants us to move on from degrading the Warriors' win. Go ahead, Allie.
It's not that. I think that – well, yes, I do want you to not degrade the Warriors' win. That's exactly right, because I think that this is an incredibly interesting, historic player we have in Stephen Curry.
Yes.
And the way he is basically –
Interesting.
We want to call him the Tim Duncan of the era. Well, he plays avant-garde basketball that's interesting and beautiful to watch. Whether he's interesting off the court is a different question.
Avant-garde. But, like an artist who paints with poop.
Yeah.
He's a dangerous artistic
envelope pusher.
But Charlie,
we don't do that until they win it. So, like, this is the whole thing that Dominique and me are saying.
How many more titles do they need to win?
No.
Talking about this team this year.
I'm not saying he doesn't have the credibility. I'm saying celebrating him as, you know, the champion four times or five times or the extra. You know what I'm saying? This is the year we're talking about. And he hasn't won it yet. And we don't know if he's going to win it yet. 538 does not believe. 536, 38, whatever the number is, does not believe he's going to win it. So, yes, it is impressive for him to get through the Western Conference in a relatively weak Western Conference. Okay, we've said everything we needed to say about Steph Curry during his prime run. Like this, yes, again, it's another impressive run, but is it even more? Like, does it add to the lore until he wins it? If he wins it, that's a whole different story.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's proven to us that he's a great poop artist. But we just wondered if he can make another poop masterpiece. Like, you can't, you can
that
say
that,
yeah, but you can say that he's an avant-garde player and beautiful to watch. That is all very true. But I think it's also fair to have questions about if they're a juggernaut. Like, I think that we're taking leaps, and it's also fair to be concerned about them winning in the next round. That's all. Maybe we should move on. We should celebrate because this was a dominating performance. What they did to the Mavs was impressive and dominating, and it made it seem like the Mavs did not even belong in the Western Conference Finals, which maybe they didn't.
Well, hold on, because the thing with what I saw from the Warriors, Alabaster, like, the reasons to be skeptical of them mostly had to do with self-inflicted, like, heat-checking championship privilege, admittedly. Like, the whole, like, we're just going to throw the ball around the court a million times. We're going to turn the ball over and not take a team seriously until, like, the last 14 minutes of a game. That's what I saw that worried me. But in terms of, like, them motivated at peak capacity, what they have now with an offense that, again, just has more weapons than they have any right to have, what they have with Klay Thompson, who is clearly healthy enough to take over a game, he had 32 tonight. Like, when you, and again, this part is old, I admit, but when you have possibly the two greatest shooters of all time on the same team, so many magical things can happen. And that's the lesson of the Warriors. And then you throw Draymond in there.
However, how much, like, we've seen a lot of spectacular Steph Curry over the years. This year, this postseason, hasn't really been it. We've seen pockets. We've seen bits and bits of Klay Thompson. We've seen it in a game six and now in a game five. But have we seen it game after game? Like, this is going to feel like whoever comes out of the East, it's going to feel like they got out of jail playing against the Warriors. Because, like, Kevon Looney is not going to be this anchor that he is against the likes of a Robert Williams and Grant Williams or Bam Adebayo and PJ Tucker. And so it's just – it's a different animal. Like, we can't just jump to the – and so jump to the next series. We just can't give them the victory. I mean, that's all I'm trying to do.
Everything you said is true, Pablo. If they still had the two greatest shooters of all time on their team, like, they aren't playing like those players consistently at this point. And Pablo, you are so fortunate. Congratulations. You get to be Captain Easy Stance tonight because Izzy and I are willing to be honest and critical about this. You are thinking the same thing. You are a good host. You are doing the right thing by leading us down this path. However, you also have questions in your heart of hearts, if you have one.
Hey, look, it's not my fault that you guys decided to paint on today's show with poop.
It's beautiful, though.
So I have a couple things to interject with here. Okay, the first one is, I do think it's worth noting
of poop painting.
that Steph is averaging 27-5-5 on great shooting splits in this postseason. So he has played elite basketball. The second thing is we as the gas bags in the media do use finals trips as an accomplishment for individual players. We've done that for the last decade with LeBron James because it's consistent excellence and it's like winning rounds in the postseason. And we just talked about how all of these postseasons are like, you know, battles to get through. And then the last point on this is we degraded Steph's accomplishments when he was playing with Kevin Durant because we just decided that Kevin Durant was the best player on this team. And like, he's just what he did. We removed one of the like 20 best players of all time and he made the finals again. This is incredible and unprecedented.
It is.
It
is.
You want somebody to disagree? No one's disagreeing with you at that point. Right. We all agree with you. I just got hung up on the word juggernaut and like the assumption they're going to win the next round. Like, this is an incredible accomplishment. In fact, because they are not the juggernaut. And it does feel like for Steph, at least, and maybe this is not fair. You could say it's not fair if you believe it to be unfair. But Steph, we've never felt the way about Steph that we felt the way that we felt about LeBron or Jordan or those type of guys. Like, we've always felt that this was an excellent system and Steph was an outstanding, incredible player. Like, I don't think that anyone ever. I mean, we saw with the.
No, I did. I thought of him as somebody who could absolutely carry a franchise. Like, if he were to change franchises and put the right pieces around him, can still do this for another franchise.
Hold on.
This is still surprising, yes, and crazy impressive that he got to the finals because, I mean, we all thought Phoenix. We all thought maybe the Lakers, right?
But what we're going to do, to Dominique's point, I think, is that we're going to have a hard conversation around where does Steph Curry rank among the greatest of all time.
No, we don't have to have that conversation.
Hold on.
We don't have to have that conversation, or we can have that conversation. My point about Steph Curry, and I'm sure that many people think I sound stupid at this moment, but my point is, at the peak of his powers, LeBron James, you put him on just about any roster, it becomes a contender. We felt the same way about Kevin Durant. Like, that's how we felt about those players. As great as Steph is, and maybe all time he'll be in the conversation with these players because of where he was, no one ever thought of Steph Curry as like, take this guy, drop him somewhere, and they get great, and then they become championship contenders, playoff teams. Maybe it's because like small guards, the history of small guards in the NBA or whatever. I'm not looking to denigrate him as a player or denigrate his career, but I'm just saying he was never viewed as that player. And I mean, whatever that says about him, I don't know, but I think it's unfair.
Well, it says he doesn't change teams, and therefore nobody's ever going to get to ask that question because he doesn't have to go through a new a new roster and a new coach. And so
it's a stupid
I do think that if he were, like, he would be the offense. He would, just the same way LeBron James and Tom Brady goes to another team, he's like, listen, guys, this is how we're running stuff. It's around me. Whether or not you can do it, it's going to take a while, but this is how we're doing things. And so, you know, if you want to pretend, go back in time and see if he would have done that, I think he probably would have. But to Charlie's point, like, okay, yes, this singular accomplishment, we probably not like denigrate it, not like look past it and say, yes, this was a surprise year. And we just kind of like slough off, 27-5-5, one of the best in the playoffs, and he's in the finals again. We probably shouldn't do that.
That's great. I mean, I just expect more. Sorry, go ahead.
I think the statement that's fair, and I love being on this mountaintop condescending to both of you. It's however good you think Steph Curry is, he's actually better. Like, that's my takeaway from this season. He's fucking incredible, man. It's ridiculous that he's doing this.
I guess
that's my only problem with this is like, we've seen, like, I've had this conversation about, I love Steph Curry. Nobody loves Steph Curry more than me. Had this conversation like a ton in 2017. You know what I mean? Like,
the Steph Curry,
the Steph Curry hipster.
2017 is a very good year to talk about Steph Curry's greatness. But I think that Steph Curry, I just love Steph Curry more than you guys. I respect him more than you is what it, what it boils down to, is that you're trying to use this as something to like trumpet how great he is. I already believe that he was past whatever point that a trip to the finals was valuable to him. Like that to me is like, yeah, okay. So he did it. It's the same thing for LeBron. No one's going to be celebrating. Well, yeah, LeBron gets to the finals with that Lakers roster in year 20 or 21. Yeah, never mind. Yeah, I'm sorry. I take it back. Steph Curry, this is a juggernaut. Steph Curry's, it's Jordan, Steph Curry, then LeBron James.
That's right.
It's almost as if the Warriors picked just the right time to go through a lull, because it was just like, oh yeah, they lost to Kawhi, but it was all the injuries. And then after that, it was COVID year, like bubble year, fraud year after that. And it's just like, oh yeah, now we're back to regular basketball. The Warriors are back on top again.
Yeah, I mean, look, there are reasons to dislike the Warriors. You can dislike the whole like Silicon Valley light years, Joe Lake, billionaires get everything they want. Like all of that stuff, valid objections. Very valid, as Dominique is popping his collar.
Oh, no, I'm putting it down because it's time to get serious.
Oh, no, I wasn't. I wasn't trying to pivot to a critique of capitalism. I wasn't trying to do that. I'm sorry.
This is the way it's supposed to be, Warren, but you can't really see the eyes.
It's Cookie Monster. Cookie Monster's eyes are like wiggly, right? They like they don't look at any other. That's why you're cross-eyed right now.
Oh, there it is. There it is. Perfect.
They're kind of. There we go. So is there's Cookie a reason Monster, I chose to wear this, by the way, but we haven't gotten to that topic yet.
A serious Sesame Street question. Is Cookie Monster supposed to be like an addict? Because like he's like wild and eyes going everywhere. Like on Sesame Street, is Cookie Monster a fiend?
I think he like just speaks to the dangers of sugar and like the unhealthiness of it what and kind everything of sugar? Else. And so it's kind of...
See, it's a very thinly veiled metaphor, Alabaster. Why are you trying to throw an introduction card in front of our cocaine metaphor?
I got a question for Dominique.
Here we go.
How do you think KD is feeling right now? He sort of came to Steph to get, you know, basketball nirvana and then left after 3 years, and they just are back without him. Like he's stuck with Kyrie and Ben Simmons.
All right, now this is a question that's about more than KD at this point. This is a question that's about all of us. It's about it's about happiness. And it's about chasing happiness in places where you'll never find it. And like that's what it boils down to.
Yep.
Now, if KD has found whatever it makes him happy in life, then KD is happy right now. But if he has not, he was not happy, it seemed like, in Golden State. He's certainly not happy in professionally in Brooklyn. And if you can't find professional happiness, you got to find happiness elsewhere. And my guess is KD is feeling great right now because he is high as a satellite. So good for him. Anyway,
I have a question. Wasn't it Kyle Kuzma? Was it Kuzma who said that Draymond Green is the greatest role player, like one of the best role players of all time? Does that make KD one of the greatest role players of all time? Because he just won his championships as a role player. For the role was to score.
Kevin Durant is trying to do is take some high-resolution photographs of the planet, and you guys keep trying to harsh his mellow. Let him orbit.
Go right
let
ahead.
Let him tweet. He loves Twitter. I mean, not a great sign. A great sign about personal happiness is when you quote unquote love to tweet. But yeah, man, this is it really does throw everything into a sharper relief about like what was needed to be as good as they have been, Alabaster, to your point.
Is that how Sean Marks should reach out to Kevin? Just have like some negative comments on Twitter about him and you know he'll fire back.
Yeah. So did we accept that they actually haven't communicated? Is that something where...
Oh, I still... My theory... I have never been more confident in my pseudo-journalistic theory that I exclusively unveiled on last night's episode of Debatable. That Kevin Durant is quietly very much working with Sean Marks, and the leak that he has not talked to Sean Marks since the offseason began is merely a smokescreen that is obscuring the actual reality that they have had other communications.
They're communicating through burner accounts.
I'm also standing by the theory that I unveiled last night that Kyrie Irving puts on a hat when he becomes GM Kyrie, and GM Kyrie is unhappy with the commitment to the team that player Kyrie has right now, and he is the one who has decided to move on from player Kyrie. I like that theory.
I also
better.
Stand by my theory from yesterday, which is sit Kyle Lowry and Heaton 7.
Oh, God.
Guys, I think you're gonna have to do more to sit Kyle Lowry. But I do think it's worth noting that Ian Begley actually reported today that the Nets are open to a sign and trade of Kyrie Irving potentially, or was speculating as much.
Yeah,
which is interesting. Interesting. But I want to get to the Luka of all of this because, you know, about a week ago, meatball fans like me thought that Luka was about to be on a LeBron in 2007 run, and he was the best player in the series, and the Warriors couldn't stop him. And he was still an awesome basketball player. What he's done in this postseason is amazing. My question, where do Luka Doncic and the Mavs go from here?
Man, we were so close. We were like, I feel like maybe a game or two away from seeing Luka having fully played himself into shape. we've been inching.
So we need 120 game season.
Yeah, we're so close, but we didn't get there, and that makes it all the more incredible.
Which is frankly why I chose this Cookie Monster sleepwear today, if we call it sleepwear, because Cookie Monster, if you've been updated on your Sesame Street knowledge,
the drug addict,
has adapted fruits and vegetables.
Oh, really?
Life. Yeah, it's not just a, he's not just a cookie fiend anymore.
Cool, cookie getting clean. All right.
And I feel like Luka Doncic could learn.
They had
from
an
this.
Intervention. They had a cookie monster intervention.
And they must have. I don't know how we got there. This is going to have to be like a 30 for 30, like
I know.
Whatever, Sesame Street in the background
where
type of stuff.
Where is Jeff Passan when you need him to do an Elmo impersonation? Like
right
Elmo
now, to give the info.
We need to call him up. I know you guys are friends, Pablo. Call him up so he can do an Elmo impersonation on the spot. I mean, it's not like baseball is happening or anything.
Yeah, can we get Passan to do Elmo's side of a Cookie Monster intervention? Alabaster, please
does
make
Cookie
the
Monster, hold on, I'll let Alabaster steer us back in the right direction. But does Cookie Monster say anything other than me like cookies?
Cookies. I don't really know.
I think cookies. He only says anyway.
Cookie. No, but honestly, half seriously.
Sorry for fracturing his relationships in pursuit of only cookies. Cookie Monster know that more things are important in life than just sweet, sweet cookie sugar, which definitely is real cookie sugar and not cocaine.
Just a little sprinkle. I guess I'm saying Luka should eat more fruits and vegetables. Okay. Like, these guys are like industries up by themselves. Like, you gotta go full LeBron, man. You gotta have like the hyperbaric chamber at home.
Hold on. So you should,
explain
that. Izzy, your nickname for Luka in our group chat has been what?
Doble queso. Because he famously ordered double queso on his nachos when he was being interviewed for a draft story.
Yes, by our friend Mina Kimes, a journalist who had a paper and a recorder out. And so the idea of Luka, of doble queso, maybe going, is it solo queso, uno queso?
Vegan queso, por favor.
Ooh, vegan queso. Oh, I went through a nut cheese phase, which is a thing that sounds like a joke I would make, but it's just not crazy. I went through a nut cheese phase where I tried to avoid dairy cheese because I was worried about my cholesterol levels.
It's not cheese.
Let me tell you something.
Cheese.
Nut cheese is the worst. It
I could have told you that. I've never had nut cheese, but I could have told you that.
It tastes like something that's named nut cheese.
Look. Parmesan. There's a good vegan Parmesan option. It doesn't quite taste like nut cheese, but I feel like we should get off of this point. My point being, take care of yourself, Luka. Go full LeBron. Get all the because you could be literally greatest. Like you could be chasing LeBron. Just take care of yourself the way he does.
Dominique. Luka Doncic needs to go full Izzy Gutierrez, man. Ooh, Izzy should be training Luka. Show up ripped, pose on those train tracks.
More than happy.
Like, but imagine if Luka shows up in training camp, Alabaster, and he has like, you know, those muscles where I don't know which muscle is it. What is this? What's this one called?
Trap deltoid.
Yeah, all of those. Yeah, exactly. He shows up with those D'Angeloids, you know?
Did you know only 5% of the population I read have visible abdominal muscles? So 66.7% of this panel then?
Yeah, we are We're doing pretty well. 95%.
Hello. Yeah, I'm not taking my shirt off, unfortunately. Yeah,
guys, I have one quick follow-up question. We've got a minute left. Do you guys really think it was Luka's shape that's the reason the Mavs lost? Because I feel like that wasn't actually inhibiting him in this postseason run.
Well, no, but I think he could have been even better. Yeah. Like, I think he was sort of spotting himself or picking his spots, if you will.
I think it's the most easily addressable problem that they have. Like, the other problems, of course, Alabaster, right? They need a center. Could they get Rudy Gobert? He'd be an excellent fit. Do they re-sign Jalen Brunson? Probably not at the price that Jalen Brunson wants. Like, those are the real transactional roster construction questions. Like, God bless their GM. They have stuff they got to do. Yes. Right, Tim Hardaway Jr., what do you do with him? Spencer Dinwiddie, God, who gets paid in crypto still, I think. Davis Bertans is out there looking like Charles Peach, a reference that only five people will get if they're watching this, but it's very true. They have decisions to make, but the most zero-cost one is just like, hey, man, just be the best version of yourself, because that's how far we're going to go, probably, is how good you ultimately are in the end.
Going and get Rudy Gobert is not good if you want to go deep in the playoffs. That has not seemed to be the case, not because he's bad at defense, but because he seems to be a lane-clogging offensive liability. That would be a problem for Luka, who seems to really like to get into the paint, which is where they are the best. So I don't know why that move.
He needs a lob option, though. He needs a lob option. Just give him another threat there. And obviously a defensive rim protector.
Yep.
Those are Dominique's trying to insinuate that Rudy Gobert is just some nut fromage, and I reject that.
I would say that this whole week we've been doing these late shows, and I haven't been quite sure why we are doing this, but then you did a Cookie Monster impersonation, and I was like, it was all worth it. It was all worth it.
I always liked the nutty cheese. But not the other way around. I almost said it, but not the other way around.
Honestly, a cheesy nut is an upgrade.